Boker Tov, we're up to Perek Chav Vav in Hilchos Shabbos, continuing issues of Muksa, and what you're allowed to move and not allowed to move. Then we're going to see, again, some more specific examples of various objects. So he starts off in Halacha Aleph with Koklia Oreg, V'Chavalim, V'Kanim Shalo. All right, so going back to our loom, if you recall from Oreg, which is weaving on the loom, so any of the instruments that are used for loom, or the ropes, or the reeds, or all those things that are involved with it. Mutal taltalon, right? Kekalisha malach talisser. Okay, so you're allowed to move them, just like any other case of a kekalisha malach talisser. Ritzin slasorach mekomo, as an example. You'd be allowed to move it. Chutz, mikoved elyon v'koved atachton. So the only exceptions are the upper and lower main beams, which are really there. I guess they ultimately give the structure its basic tzura. So those are not what do you call it? They're fixed and placed the entire time, so they're never meant to be moved, and therefore you couldn't move them on Shabbos. You also have like these pillars. So you're not allowed to move the pillars that support the oreg, because what might end up happening is that when you take them out of the ground, you'll end up what do you call filling in the little holes that are formed. However, Ushar Klei Oreg Mutarn. But all the other parts of the loom, you're allowed to move. Okay. That's it for looms, okay? Michbados are brooms. So, Michbados Shatamra. So, normally they make brooms out of date palm branches. Okay? So, those types of broom, Michyotzebehen, Shemechabdem as a karka, that you sweep the ground with them, Harehi Hein Kekli Shemelach Dolheter, Shrein Mutal Chabi Beshavis. So you're allowed to sweep on Shabbos, okay? So since you're allowed to sweep on Shabbos, these kelim are kli shemalach talheter. Okay, levenim she nisharu min abinyan. Okay, so let's say you build a house and there are bricks that are left over. Okay, this is interesting halacha. Harei hein kli shemalach talheter meishruuin lahasev alein. Right, sharei shafinosan umesakinosan. So what he's saying is that bricks that are left over, they're actually considered a kli shemalach talheter. Why? Because a person could sit, he can lean on the bricks. So, you know, I'm assuming that these are quite large. Not talking about the little tiny bricks we use today, but the large pieces of stone, and they're smoothed over, and therefore they naturally lend themselves to the purpose of leaning on them. However, vim tsavar osan, hare hiktsam v'asol tatlam. But let's say I collected a bunch of them over into like a corner, right? So then the problem is it's clear that those are going to still be used for building purposes, and therefore it'd be also for me to move them. But if they're lying individually left over from the building, then it'd be mutter for me to go ahead and lean on them. Okay, lacha gimel, cheres ketana. So we've seen this before. Small pieces of earthenware, mutal tatala afilu b'shusarabim. Okay, you're allowed to carry it, to move it, even if it's in shusarabim. Why? Hoil v'ruuya hi b'chatzar lachasos ba pi kli kata. Because I could always bring that little tiny piece of an earthenware, let's say a broken piece of an earthenware jug, I could bring that into my chatzar and close up a bottle with it, okay? We also saw this also, megufis chavis, okay? So that's the stopper that goes into a barrel. Shenis chasasahi v'ushvarea muto tatala. Okay, so standing by a stopper, if the stopper actually was cut off in the barrel, so both it and its various pieces I'm allowed to carry, I'm allowed to move around. But if I threw away the stopper, right, into the garbage on Erev Shabbos, then I would not be allowed to move it at that point, which is pretty obvious, because once I do that, I'm indicating that this thing is no longer has use on Shabbos. Okay. Kli shenisroa lo yitlo shemenu cheres chasos bo o lismach bo. Okay. So, what do you call it? Let's say a glass, okay, breaks, okay, but it hasn't quite shattered into pieces yet. So imagine like you have a glass where like, you know, the lines are starting to form, fractures are starting to form all over. So you shouldn't take a piece of it out, right? Or lean on it or use it for anything. Basically, you should stay away from the object as much as possible. Okay. Murta lahachnis and lahadalid, the basic kisei. Okay. So this just gets a little more into how they used to use bathrooms in those days. And as we know, toilet paper was not considered a thing that was normally used. So you're allowed to go into a bathroom. You're allowed to bring with you shalosh avanim mikuzalos lekaneach behen. So they basically had these stones they would use to wipe themselves with after they made use of the facilities. So you'd be allowed to carry three of them, move three stones that normally used for that purpose, okay, into the bathroom with you. The Kama Shiron Kimlo Yud. And the shear of these rocks is approximately the size of your hand, right? Aval Adama Shi Krova Lihisfarech, but you can't take in dirt, okay? Because dirt is most likely going to go ahead and crumble, right? Also Tatla Kanechba. So you would not be allowed to take in a clump of dirt to wipe yourself with, because that most probably will end up breaking apart. Umutar Lahalos Avanam Lagag Lekanechben. I'm allowed to take these stones that I used to wipe myself with up onto the roof, okay? Yardu Alein Geshamim V'nishtaku Batit, okay? If, let's say, rain fell on these rocks and now they are sinking inside the ground because they're covered, they're sinking in mud. Im Rishuman Nikar Mutol Tatlan. So if I can see on them some type of, let's say, mark that I know for sure these were set aside for the purpose of using the bathroom, then it's mutter for me to move them even out of the mud. Okay, Evan Sheishalea Tinof. Okay, so sometimes they had rocks that had on them evidence that they were used for the bathroom, not just a roshan, but I'm saying, let's say it's like, it looks like it's a used rock. Shavada the Kanechi, right? So it's obvious that it's used to wipe. Mutol Tatla Dafili Gadola. I would actually even allowed to be, I would be allowed to use a rock where previous usage indicated that it was used to wipe oneself, right? Even if it was a large rock. So the difference is that in the beginning of Halacha Daled, you have rocks that the normal rocks are used in the bathroom. This would be an abnormal rock, right? Because it's much larger, but it's clear the evidence was it was used already in the bathroom. Then it'd be mutter for me to move it. Okay, Halacha Hey. So if I have a choice in front of me, okay, when it comes to using the bathroom to wiping myself, I have a choice of a piece of cheres, which is earthenware again, okay, or I have a small rock, mekaneach b'tzror. The rock is the ideal choice. V'imia cheres me'agne kelim mekaneach v'cheres. And if the if I have a choice, again, going back to the rock and the kli, and the earthenware piece, if the piece is actually a handle of a kli, then it's better to use the cheres, okay? Hayu lefanav tzor v'asavim. So let's say I have in front of me that stone or grass. Im hayu asavim rachim mekanech mehen, v'im la mekanech b'tzor. So if the grass is soft, it's better to use the grass. If not, then you should end up using the stone, okay? Okay. Halach above, shayari machsalaos. So these are, what do you call it? These are, if you recall, those are mats. So these are the leftovers of the mats, okay? Which, again, they break into little pieces. Shabalu, harehen kikli shemalachta leheter. Minei shiruin lechasos benatinov, okay? So the pieces of mat, when the mat falls apart, okay, those pieces are actually considered kli shemalachta leheter because I can go ahead and cover up things that are disgusting with them. Okay. Aval Shiari Bigodim Shabalu, Sha'im Hen Shalosh Shalosh, also Tatlan Shayna Ruin Lulanim Vulashir. But if I have pieces of cloth, interesting enough, okay, if it's less than 3x3 Tvachim, okay, and I'm not allowed to go ahead and move them because they're not Roy for either someone who's rich or someone who's poor. Okay. Shvari Tanur, okay, Shivari Tanur, so pieces of a broken oven, Mutul Tatalan, right? Varian could call Kim Shmlachtan Lahetar. So pieces of an oven I can actually move. However, Kira, now if you recall, Tanur is the more sealed type oven. Kira is, remember you have like the vertical blocks and then horizontally, a stone thing going over. It's open on the front and back side. Holes where the pots go inside. That's a Kira. So Kira shenishmatta achas miyarchosea, also tatla shemitakeh. Right, so let's say one of the legs on either side of the Kira, comes out from its bearings, meaning it slips away and is no longer supporting the Kira. I'm not allowed to move that because what may end up happening is I may end up moving it back and digging it into the ground as a result. So that'd be the Isser by the Kira case. Okay. Halacha Zayin. Okay, Sulam Shel Aliyah. Okay, this actually comes up in our Beitza as well. So you have a ladder that's made for a roof, okay? A normal, we'll call it a roof ladder. Or a second-story ladder of your house. Also, Tatalosh ain't allowed to raskli. So I'm not allowed to move that type of ladder, okay? Because it's not considered a kli, okay? V'shal shuvach mutol hatosa. Now, if it's a ladder that goes to a birdhouse, okay, then it's actually mutter. It's permitted to go ahead and tilt it, okay? Whereas within the birdhouse itself, I could tilt it from one side to the other to get to each area where the birds come in and out. But I'm not allowed to take the ladder from one set of birdhouses to another one. Okay? Right? Because the problem is that I'll end up moving it like I normally would during the week, and that'll end up leading me to capture these doves. Okay? Kanesh and Moskin Ba'azesim. Okay, so they had this reed. Okay, and at the end of the reed, they would use this reed to go ahead and harvest olives. Okay? Im yesh alav toras kli, which again is a subjective thing, if it's considered officially a kli for that purpose, hario kli shem alachta lesser. Okay? Kana shehiskino balabayis, lios poseach v'noabo. They also had another purpose for a reed. A reed could be used as a way to open and close the door. Okay? That's what they had reeds that were used for that purpose. Imesh toras kli alav hario kli shem alachta lesser. If it's actually considered a kli, right, then it's a klisha malachta l'heter. And again, that has to do based on how you relate to it. There's a difference between a person picking up a kana one time and using it versus saying, this is my official door opener thing. Okay, moving on to more door issues. Halacha ches, dela shahaya la tzir, okay, af api she'en la ata tzir, right, she'echina listoba makom muksa, v'hi nigrar she'not lino savasos mimba. Okay, so let's say I have a door, okay, and the door had a hinge on it, okay, but right now, it does not have a hinge on it. So again, the hinge was there, but no longer has a hinge anymore. And what's it there for? Its function is to close off an open area, obviously, okay? But what happens is, when it opens and closes, it drags on the ground, okay? It drags on the ground. That is an issue. V'chein kadakim shesosmin behen ha-partza, okay? As well, if I have, other types of partitions that are made to go ahead and close open areas, the machatzals and the greres, also mats that were also used, all these cases where they drag on the ground, bizman shekshurin utluyim bakoso, okay, as long as they are attached to the wall, meaning the frame, let's say, sosem behem, vinolim behem, I can go ahead and use them to open and close the doorway. Vimlav einolim behem, and if not, okay, I would not be able to close the space with them. However, if they were above the ground, then I can use these semi-functional doors to go ahead and close the area. Okay, halacha tes, dela shehi luach echad. Okay, let's say the door is made out of one piece of wood. Okay, she shotnin osav in olimba, right, and it's there to go ahead. I took it off to close up the area. In lo haya lo lamata, okay, came kamo askupa shemochiach alea she clean muchal neila ain nolam bahen. Okay, interesting. So there has to be something on the bottom of it, at the very bottom of the doorway, okay, that indicates that this thing is made to be used as a door. There has to be evidence that's what it is. Okay, meaning let's say it's not just enough to bring a rectangular piece of wood over and say it's a door. There has to be something that demonstrates that it would fit into this area. V'meish lamata askupa nolam ba. So it's a question of what it called. As long as there's a scupa here refers to like a doorstep. As long as there's some type of doorstep, which is that bottom area, which for back then indicated it was used for a door, then it will be permitted. To use it to close the area off. Okay. Okay. Then you have a neger. So neger is literally a bolt. Okay. We saw that by mezuzah. In the case of mezuzah, that's where a person takes the mezuzah and puts it in rather vertically. Horizontally, but going into the doorway. So it's like, it looks like little like a bolt that goes in. So here, they would use a bolt on the door. Okay, v'chein neger sheyesh b'rosho klustra. Okay, so one kind of bolt would be, imagine a cylinder, a horizontal cylinder, with like a circular bulge at the end of it. Okay, that's one kind of bolt. Okay, shemuchachas lav shu klin muchal n'ila, right? It's clear from from the way it's designed, that it's made for locking a door. Vena kora kashar kora is no mobile shabbos, right? And it's not just a regular beam. I don't think the metal one's the best to use. Also, remember you had those they used to use like an actual 2x4, let's say, to kind of lock into the area. I'm sure everyone knows what I'm talking about. Like a 2x4 they would put in keep the doors closed, right? So as long as it's nicker in the object that it is made for that purpose, then it will be okay to use it on Shabbos, okay? But in Halacha Yud, you have a neger where she'ein berosho klustra, so it's not nicker in the object that it is used for this purpose. Imaya kosher v'tali b'delas, no limbo. But as long as it's attached to the door through a rope, let's say, then it'd be okay to use it. V'chein imaya nita v'agdo imo. Ava imaya agdo kavua b'delas, okay? So this would also mean that if, what do you call it, as long as it's, in other words, as long as when I took off the bolt, the rope was still attached to it, okay? But let's say the rope is attached to the door, okay? V'haya negar nishmat, right? Kimokore, and now the beam or the bolt that does not have the bulb on the end of it, now when it's not attached to that rope, looks like any other beam. U'manichan oso b'zavis, v'chozim v'nolim bo b'eish shirotzin, ha'reza asul v'nobo, she'en alav toras kli, v'ein agud v'ein bo eged l'chiyachalo. So basically what he's saying is that this type of thing has nothing nicker on it anymore, that it's made for that purpose. Now, it's true I may, on occasion, use this beam to lock the door, but there's nothing in it that indicates that it's set aside for that purpose. And as a result, that's why it would be usher to use to move on Shabbos. Okay, halacha yud aleph. Menorah shacholios. We saw this before. This is, let's say, like a chandelier that's made out of pieces, okay? Pieces that easily connect to each other. Ben gedola ben katana. I'm not allowed to go ahead and move this at all, because the concern is that if I move it, it may come apart. They were very fragile, and then if they come apart, I'll try and put them back together again on Shabbos. Hayuba chadakim, okay, let's say there are certain grooves in it, the nireis kibalas cholios, right? And therefore, you can see it's nicker that the thing is made out of various pieces. Im haisa gedola hanitlis b'shtei yadayim, asla tata m'nei kovda, okay? If, let's say, it's big, and I need two hands to carry it, then it's prohibited for me to move it because of its weight. Haisa katana vizu mutl tatla. But if it is, what do you call it, if it is small enough, then it'd be mutter for me to go ahead and move it. And again, the difference by the first case is the menorah shachayos actually is made from separate parts. Here, this one, it looks like it's made out of separate parts. So then the only question is that how heavy is the object insofar as moving it is concerned. Okay. Halachi Yud Beis. Okay. Minal sha'al gabe ha'amus shomtin oso b'shabbos. Okay. So they had like a certain object, like a block, that a guy who made his shoes on. And let's say there's a shoe on top of it. Okay. I'm allowed to go ahead and take that shoe off on Shabbos. Okay. Mechabe shel ba'alei batim. This is talking about a clothes press. So remember those old, objects, that you'd run the shirt through, and running it through, it would press the shirt, washing it and pressing it at the same time. So those things, the ones that belong to the average person, matirin avalo koshin. So I'm allowed to go ahead and release the clothes press part from the object itself, but I can't set that press part into the thing. Vishel kovsin lo yigabo. But for the actual launderers, meaning because theirs are obviously more professional, lo yigabo, I can't touch it. Neishu muksam machmas chisron kis. Because those laundry pressers that were owned by launderers have a very high value, and therefore it's muksa machmas chisron kis, which you saw before. I can't move something that has a tremendous value to it. Similarly, v'chein gizei tzemer. So let's say I have of chunks of wool that have not been processed yet. Ein metaltan osam neishu makben alan. I can't move them because the owner of the wool is very makben upon them. The v'gach im yachdon atashmesh mutarim. So as long as if I set them aside for a particular tashmish, for some other purpose, I mean, now they have a purpose, it's mutter for me to move them. The ashlachin mutto tatum bein shehayu shel balabayis or shel'uman neishem eino makbid alayim. And these are referring to hides, okay? Meaning, again, going to skins of, let's say, cows, which have not been processed yet. Okay, it's mutter for me to go ahead and move them because the owners are normally not makbid on the unprocessed hides. Okay. Halakha gimel, kol davar mitunaf. Okay, so mitunaf means anything that's disgusting. It can go on re'iv, v'kaya, v'tzoa, so vomit, or feces, or excrement, all these types of things. Ochiotzeben im hayu b'chatzer. Okay, so let's say I come across this stuff in the chatzer, she yoshamba, where people reside in the chatzer. Mutal hotzi on the oshba, or the basic kisei. I'm allowed to go ahead and remove this stuff, okay? Move anything disgusting from the chatzer to throw in the garbage or into the bathroom. Vizeo nikra graf shel re'i. That's what it's called. The category is called graf shel re'i. These are basically disgusting things. Vima yuba chatzer acheres, okay? Kofen alein kli. Now, let's say, what do you call it? It's in someone else's chatzer. Okay, what can I do? I can go ahead and cover it with a kli, kadei shel yetzei katan v'yislach lech behen. Because, God forbid, we don't want a child to run outside and stumble on this, on let's say, a pile of feces. Rogue shal karka, that's interesting. Let's say there's spit on the ground, a big wad of spit you see on the ground. Dorsal efituma v'holech. You can go walk on, just stamp that into the ground and keep walking on your way. You do not have to avoid walking over it. Umatatalin knuna mimnei efaro. Afal pi sheish olav shiver eitzim meishu graf shel re'it. Okay, so this actually is referring to a knuna is a pan that would heat certain things up in. Okay, you're allowed to actually carry that, right, because of the ash that's inside it. Okay, even though there may be pieces of wood that had not burnt yet. Okay, because that's considered disgusting. Okay, they know some graf shel re'it lechatila b'shabbos, right? So at the beginning of Shabbos, right, we're not allowed, in other words, when Shabbos starts, we're not allowed to create a graf shel re'i on our own. We're not allowed to do that. Aval im nasem elav, osha aver vaso motzino so. But if it happens naturally, or if I'm over the prohibition and I do create a graf shel re'i on Shabbos, I'm allowed to get rid of it. Okay, so even though it technically speaking should have the status of muksa, nonetheless, since it's disgusting, I'm allowed to go ahead and get rid of what it called this stuff. Okay. Halacha yadal. Shemen she yotze mitachas a koresh shel beis habad b'shabbos. Okay. So let's say there's oil that flows out from underneath the, literally the beam of the olive press. Have you ever seen an olive press before with that circular thing and the wheel, etc.? So any oil that comes from beneath the kore on Shabbos, I can move. Okay. V'chein, I can take. V'chein tamar mushkei demuchan l'mischar mutal ochel m'shabbos. So too, okay, dates and nuts that are set aside to be sold on to be sold as merchandise, right? I'm allowed to eat that on Shabbos. That feel the otzer shel tzvua, otzvua tzvura, maskily stopping men of a Shabbos, right? And even if it comes to let's say whatever grain that's in an otzar, okay, I can always eat this stuff on Shabbos. Why she'in sham ochel shehu muksa b'Shabbos klal elakol mukhanu? Because food can never be muksa on Shabbos, okay? It's food by definition is always considered mukhan. So there's no way, he's going to get to the exception in a second, but in general, there's no way for food to ever become muksa on Shabbos. What's the exception? Chutz megrogoros utsmukin. Okay, so what they used to do was, they used to take their, let's say, grapes, and they wanted to make raisins out of the grapes. So how would they do that? They would take the grapes and put them on their roof, okay? And what would happen is, the grapes would get, as they were getting dry, there'd be a point in time that they would get to be disgusting, and almost, so to speak, inedible, and then become edible again. So that's the exception. He says, Chutz megrogoros utsmukin, shebemuksa bizman shemeyafshim osam, all right, holu masrichos bentayim, ve'enam ruin lachila, hare ena sur b'shabbos shemuksa. So, since these things went through a stage where they were edible, then they became disgusting, right, which made them not ruin lachila, and then returned back again to be ruin lachila, they're also in Shabbos because they're muksa, okay? This is obviously something that took place, in other words, starting with Shabbos. Again, we're not talking about a case where it doesn't mean I can't have raisins on Shabbos. It means that the raisins were created on Shabbos. That's where the problem emerges. Okay. Chavetz shenisgalsa de'avtiach shenishbara. Okay. So chavetz usually refers to wine, a barrel of wine that's opened, or a watermelon that's open, or it's broken. Afapish enemu in lachila, even if it's not roy to eat. I'm allowed to go ahead and take it and move it into an area where that is set aside. We've seen this before. A kmiya that has not been tested properly, meaning it has not been proven to be an effective amulet, right? Interesting. So even though I can't wear it, I am allowed to move it on Shabbos. Okay? Mosar Hashemin Shebenera B'Shuk Ara Shehidi Kubo B'Osa Shabbos. Right, so any leftover oil from an oil lamp that I lit now went out on Shabbos, also the stopping men of Osa Shabbos, Neshu Muksa Machmas Isser. That's easy. I'm not allowed to go ahead and make any use of that leftover oil because it's Muksa Machmas Isser. It came from something that is Asser. Okay. Halacha Tesvav. Osa Shel Tvua. All right, so if I have a silo of grain, Osa Kade Yayin, right, or I had lots of barrels of wine, Afapisha mutali stopping menu, okay, even though I'm always allowed to take the food, okay? Asul lahaskabo lifnoso el davar mitzvah. That's interesting. I'm not allowed to begin removing stuff out of there unless it's for the purpose of mitzvah, okay? So again, which, for example, gon shipinohu lachnasas orchin, olukvobo beis medrash, okay? Like, for instance, let's say I'm taking it out to, again, I'm emptying out the storage area. So it's true, it's food, but it's lots and lots of barrels of wine that normally is stored, okay? So it's either to serve guests or to, let's say, set up a beis medrash. Ketzad mefanano, so kol echa mali arbo chamesh kupos achagomer. So for example, how do we empty this stuff out? So each person, each guest, for instance, should come and take out four or five containers, okay, until you've completed emptying out the area. Lo yechavdu karka iso shal otzar kamosh b'yarnu, okay, so you're not allowed to go ahead and create a path with your feet. Ela nechnas into the otzar, ela nechnas yotzibov osa shvil b'raglap nosav isyaso, okay? So, excuse me, you're not allowed to sweep the ground of the otzar. Rather, I'm allowed to go ahead and create a path so people can see where the entrance and exit to the otzar actually is. Okay, let's do one more. Kol shehu roi l'machal behema. So any food that is edible, even if it's not for human consumption, but it's for animal consumption, behema v'chayev of, right? Hamitzuyin mitaltan oso b'shabes. Okay, so if it's normally food that let's say we'll call it domesticated to make it simple, but an animal that's commonly found in your area would eat. Right, you're allowed to move that food on Shabbos. Ketzad, metalton is a turmos of yavesh. These are certain types of beans, dried beans. Neishu machal izim avalos alach. Right, so I can move the dry ones, but not the wet ones, because wet ones aren't normally eaten by izim. Esachatsa neishu machal letzvayim. So, for instance, I can also move this chatsav stuff because it's food for deer. As a chal neishu machal yonim, some mustard for doves. As atzamos neishu machal klavim, bones for dogs. All shells and seeds that animals would eat, I'm allowed to move those shells and seeds. The she'ed and ruin, okay, things that are not roi for what it called for the animal to eat, okay. Ochel esa ochel v'zorkan achorav asol tatlan. So I would eat the actual food part, and anything left over, right, I would throw away, and I can't move it, okay. Mitaltalin basar tapuach mishu machal lachaya. All right, so I'm allowed to go ahead and move meat that's gotten bad because it's something that animals would still eat. Mitaltalin basar chay bein tafel bein meliach bein mineshu royal adam. And I'm allowed to move raw meat, whether or not it was salted or not salted. Okay, because a person, it is royal achila. Okay, we don't eat it, but it is royal achila. V'chein dog meliach. Okay, so too salted fish. Aval tofel asur tatala, okay? But raw fish, okay, is usur to move. All right, so, right. Okay, let's do one more. Halachi et Zion. Ein betatlin shivrei zchuches apishe machal lin amios. Okay, so I'm not allowed to move glass pieces, okay, which we saw before. Not in every situation you're allowed to move them. Why would you think you're allowed to move them here? Don't ask me why historically they thought this to be the case, but they thought ostriches would eat glass pieces of glass. Okay, v'lo chavilei zmuros afishem macha lepilim. I can't either move like these bundles of branches, even though elephants would eat them. V'lo asaluf afapishem macha l'oravim. So I can't move a luf either because it was like a leek, because that is something that ravens would eat. Neishain elu chiyotzehem mitzuyin eitzel robeni adam. Why? So it's true that let's say these chavilei zmuros. It's true that an animal would eat them. Right, but no animals we commonly come across would ever eat these things. So since we don't have these animals that we come across them often, that's why they are excluded from the category.